Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is already Monday. It's July 3rd, 2017. It's a holiday week, I guess, for Canada, because they had Canada Day yesterday. And tomorrow we have the 4th of July, which is the Independence Day for America. So fireworks and barbecues and going out, and then no holidays until Labor Day, which is in 2 more months after that. So it's going to be quiet after this. This is the last big bang. And we've had so much, chaos, you know, when there is, because there's always so much traffic here. And the traffic was, like, really bad last night. It took me for a 45-minute ride, 2 hours to get home. And by the time I got home, I was like, oh, my God, what's the rest of this weekend going to be like? But be safe, you guys. Don't drive too fast. There was just a really bad accident. And take it easy. Enjoy yourselves and get home early. That's all I could say, because I think the later it is, the more we've got going on. But I had this little bug in me to write about marriage, because I hear people say, but I want to get married. And I think, well, why do you want to get married? Not that marriage is good or bad, but when someone's saying that and they haven't met someone yet, and I know we want to get married, but when I ask, It's really because people want to feel loved, loved enough for somebody to want to marry them. And I hear it a lot. I hear people say, and I say, you know what, the relationship, make sure you have a good relationship. So yesterday I was on Facebook, and I ran across this letter that a man named, and I want to say his name correctly, because he was, I think I have to find it. It's Michael Hassoun, and his daughter got married last weekend or a few days ago, and he wrote her a letter, and he posted it on Facebook, and he told her, and I'm going to read you some of the letter. It's such a beautiful letter, and it made me want to do the show, and he said, I hope that, first of all, that you have found true love, that you found it in yourself and then a friend and partner. But know always that you have always had true love. You had it the day you were born. I love you unconditionally. I love you no matter what. I love you on your best days, and I love you the same on your worst. You know you are loved, not just by me, but many people. You should know that you are loved by God. And no matter how you choose to see God at this point in your life, whether you go to church every week or whether you are searching, just know you are loved. You are loved by those of us on this earth and those of us not. And you are loved by God from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. And learning to love, to feel that love, takes a lifetime for many. A wedding day is filled with dresses and out-of-town family. So be deliberate about taking moments through the day that you just breathe, that you let yourself feel and remember the moment rather than just be swept up in it. Take time with your partner to savor the sweetness, just the two of you. Take some mental snapshots of friends and family gathered in your name, supporting your love and supporting you. See them laughing and dancing, and remember that always. Tell them thank you for being there. I can tell you are a smart cookie, even at age 4, so I know I won't need to remind you. someday that marriage is not about the wedding day. It is about a lifetime commitment. But maybe it's worth telling you that marriages have stages. There will be times that things just sail along so easily, you just lean back and enjoy the journey. But no matter how wonderful the person you married is, there will always be times that you wonder just what you got yourself into. That is why it is so important that you only marry someone that you know well, who you know to be a good person, who you know respects you and loves you, who you know, and also that you marry someone who will also take their vows seriously. Only the ironclad commitment will carry you through the bumpy bits. And that is so important, because if you can keep it together through the bumpy bits, you can be sure that your relationship will come out of it stronger and more beautifully layered in the end. And the rough patches won't last forever if you keep searching each other out, keep connecting with each other, and keep being kind to one another. Better times will be around the corner, but to get there, you have to be committed to waiting it out. Lastly, don't neglect your relationship with yourself. You can give yourself up at the altar of a relationship with another person. It may not always seem logical, but the older I get, the more I realize that my own happiness is almost always directly proportional to the happiness of my family. And not taking care of your own needs and passions won't lead you to support others' happiness and passion. It will just make you a bitter person. So enjoy being with yourself. Enjoy the little moments in life that fill your cup. And then let that internal happiness and care spill over to your partner. It sounds easy, but it's not. Often you will forget what makes you laugh or smile because you will get so busy trying to provide that for your partner or your children. A lifetime of advice can't come from one note, so I won't try to cover everything here and now. And you don't need me to. What you most need, sweet daughter, is just to remember that you will find all the answers you need from your own trial and error. You don't need to be perfect. You just need to get up each morning with a desire to do better, be kinder, to love deeper, and to laugh harder. If you just point your ship towards that, you will always be moving in the right direction. Remember how proud I am of you. Remember that you are always my baby and that you can always ask for my help. Love you, your dad. So this letter, I read it like first thing yesterday morning. It showed up. And I thought, boy, he covered every single thing that I believe about people in one letter. And he did such a beautiful job that I like copied and pasted it in my email because I thought every once in a while, I want to read this letter. Because his love is so open and non-controlling and non-commanding that you can accept every single word that he says. And when you can speak that way to another person in life, the bond that you have is endless. And that's what we want in a marriage. That's what we want in every relationship we have. That's how we want to feel with the work we do, with the passion we feel, with the children we have. So then I thought, gosh, you know, I think we've been shortchanging ourselves for a really long time in remembering that marriage is about a personal growth, but we equate it with just being loved or not. But marriage itself is its own journey. Because we all have feelings about marriage, and some of us want to, and others of us do not want to. And we say, well, I never want to get married. Well, I want to get married. Well, I want a family. Well, I want kids. Well, I want this. Well, I want that. And it's just filled with so many I wants. We don't know how to stop deciding that why we want to get married. But the biggest want should be to understand marriage. Because we are not really taught the things that make our race, human people, better in the long run. We are taught through the dollar. We're taught to have a wedding that is in this place or that place. We're taught to have, you know, a ring this size or you're not loved, or a poor guy, that's all he can afford. We're taught to what can you do for me to marry you, and nope, you shouldn't have done that type of stuff. But there is a bigger story behind marriage. And because that's lost in translation, most people think of marriage as only what it can do, and yet what we're going to ask for. But it's not a what have you done for me lately situation. We just turned marriage into, you know, how many times a week do you have sex? Well, what kind of ring do you have? The party, who we invited, and what venue it'll be at. And marriage has been misrepresented for so long that the divorce rate is reflecting that we need to talk about what it means to be married in the first place. What do things like commitment mean? Some of the people I know who've been married the longest have said things to me, which I love so much, is, well, I made a promise. I made a promise. That's why I'm still here 60-some years later. Because at that time, making a promise did mean something. And nobody expected a marriage to be easy and fun and games, and then when it wasn't, it was over. We don't connect to people by doing things with them. We connect to people by how we talk to them, by how we feel about them, even when we're not talking. Because that's something we feel and we know inside. But imagine if we taught kids that, you know what, marriage, the reality of marriage is that you're choosing to go through life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we say in sickness and in health and in richness and in poorness, but that has become so overused, we don't even hear that anymore. But we have to let them know it doesn't guarantee 365 days of happiness, and if you don't have that, it's not a good marriage. A marriage is truly a life learning tree that you decide to share with another person, but also with every child you bring into the marriage. But we became so worried about money in a marriage because money is the forefront of all of our minds that all we care about is that we protect our money just in case we come out of the marriage. I remember when I first heard about prenuptial agreements, I thought, wow, that's cold. You borrow the person, you marry them. And you're already planning the exit. So just in case, you want to make sure that you are protected, which everyone should. But at the same time, how we're doing that hurts the relationship while the relationship's walking in the door. If you already know the exit strategy, and that woman is really upset, and she's going to get $2 million if she leaves, and she gets all the millions if she stays. There may be a day she wakes up and says, I'm ready to go. I don't understand where money became more important than a human being, but it took us years to make that transition. But it took away from the love and the commitment without thinking of what you're losing or gaining from that person. Just love and commitment. Where that went. I stay with kids. I teach kids. I love being around younger kids. And every chance I get, I ask them questions about things they think about in life. And yesterday, I had a girl, she's 8 years old, but she looks like she's older. She said, I know, everyone thinks I'm bigger and smarter than I am because I'm only 8, but I'm tall. And I said, oh, it's not so bad being tall. And she goes, but really, I'm stupid. And when she said that, I looked at her and I go, no way. I go, you did not just say you are stupid. She said, oh, no, I really am. And she started giving me these great examples of why she's stupid. And she has a younger sister who's half her age, 4 years old, and she's always getting in trouble and for her younger sister, and she didn't like that. She didn't like having her younger sister. So what happened was I told her, I said, you know what? You just lied to me. And she said, I lied to you? How did I lie to you? And I said, oh, my God, you just lied a big one. She said, how? And I said, because you're not stupid. And anytime you ever say that again for the rest of your life, I'm stupid, after that say, I just lied to myself. And she looked at me and she started laughing. And I thought, okay, now she thinks I'm funny. I'm going to go a step further with this. So I said, do you think I'm stupid? And she said, no. And I said, you know, at times I think I am. At times I think, God, that was really stupid. But now I know that it was that thing I did that was stupid, not me that was stupid, that is stupid. She thought about it. And then I said, so sometimes when you think you are and I look at you, I don't think you're stupid. So when you think that, that's just you, and that's just that day, and maybe you got in trouble that day or you're mad at yourself that day, but it doesn't mean you're stupid. And just like if I said I'm stupid and you look at me and go, why is he stupid? She's not stupid. It's the same thing someone feels when they look at you. And just having that conversation, I know that this girl is going to have a hard time saying that because I already put in her, I already built it into her at a young age that every time she says that, she is lying to herself. The one thing that we do when we're married are little things like that that build us and don't break us. If we get upset at the person we're married to, instead of talking to everybody else about how dumb your partner is that you chose to be in your life, talk to your partner about why you think what just happened was dumb. But not that your partner is dumb. Just say, hey, you know what? I think we know better than this. I think for us to have to face this, we need to find the best way out of this without hurting each other any more than we've experienced as a result of this happening. Some things are bigger than other things that happen between each other. But the love can only grow through the experiences you endure. And when you make it to the other side of any argument, of any disagreement, of any hardship you both faced, it solidifies the two of you and it solidifies your relationship in a way that you can't even measure. It builds your souls to trusting each other. And I just, those are the most beautiful parts of any relationship. Why do you think kids love their parents so much? Most of the time. Because they got to be whatever they were. Hit their adolescence, went crazy in adolescence, did this, did that. And the parents always still loved them, just like he said. No matter what you did, your best day or your worst day, they still loved you the same. Being upset with somebody doesn't interfere with loving them. It just means you're upset with them. And I know I put that in my kids, and I remember when I first was married to Sterling, and he obviously had four kids, and we had two, and everybody joined into the family. And it's kind of interesting. One of the girls had an issue where she liked to take other people's things. And I remember my daughter standing there, and she was so upset with the girl. And she said to her, "You could always just ask me. I'll let you use anything, but if you ask me, at least I know you're using it. Just because it's something that is mine. But just because I'm upset right now with you, it doesn't mean I don't love you." And the other girl didn't even understand that. To her, she was just getting in trouble yet again. Maybe now it hits her head once in a while. I hope so. But people knowing they're loved, no matter what, people loving themselves, no matter what, is the backbone of every relationship we have. Because in all the places that we don't feel loved, we act out, or our injuries run the show. So that we can feel that love somehow by pushing a button or creating an argument or when we face something. Because all of our lives are designed for us to grow and rest, grow and rest, grow and rest. And sometimes if a lot of stuff comes at us at one time, we feel like, why is this all happening at once? You can spread it out. I still have a lifetime. Why does everything have to hit at once? But marriage, if you could think of it this way, is the reflection of how you take care of yourself will be what you find in your marriage. If you don't know yourself, you're going to choose somebody without knowing them that well. Because you're not going to care because you don't need to know yourself anymore. And then maybe as you grow and they grow and then you say, oh my gosh, we're really different. The better you know you is the better you will know and respect your partner. Because that respect is already there. It's already alive. It's already been exercised within your mind and within their mind. That's why Christ, when I met Christ, started with me. He didn't say, oh, your mother did this, and oh, your dad did that, and oh, your sister did this, and oh, your boss did that. And he didn't go through the laundry list of people in my life. He just started with me. Why do you do what you do? Now, what do you mean, why do I do what I do? I have kids and I have a job. My day's already set before I even wake up in the morning. And all that chatter I threw back at Christ. And all he did was ask me a few questions. One question being answered. One question being answered was Origins of Truth. And the question that Origins of Truth answered, that entire book answered, was that 1 ounce of pure love or pure intent overcomes any obstacle, provided that it's pure. And the one question, that was the statement Christ gave me, which at the time, I heard it, but I thought, how do I know if my intentions are pure? That one question is what that entire book answered. And it took 4 years to do it, just to answer that question. Every night of writing, every single day of writing. And the two hardest times in my life that I had to face, both of those times were part of the answer, were the answer, were the preparation of my lifetime to answer that question before I even knew I had it. When people read Origins of Truth, it no longer is my book, because it isn't technically, in my eyes, my book. It's Christ's book. He had to come to me. I had to see him. I had to hear him. I had to feel him. I had to be completely unleashed, just to be able, for my life to position itself, to be able to take that out of my body and type it through. Well, the first one I wrote literally by hand. It was before I had a laptop, before that time. I wrote it on yellow pads and then typed it in. But it came hard, strong, and fast. And now that's happening through talking and through reaching out to people. And I noticed in the past few years, my life started, it's an interesting thing because I've just been thinking about it, but started dwindling into having a few strong relationships of growth. And in marriage, our relationships of growth that we've had throughout life are what prepare us to share that with one person and have, if you choose, a partner in life to understand reality with, not to throw expectations on of fixing you. Because if we get into marriage for some, we're going to be in for a big surprise. And those of us in our world that are married and have been married for a while all know that. Their partner is an extension of them, because it is a partnership, which is how it's able to continue. Sometimes, you know, men may marry younger women, and the women anything to connect with until time has built. And then the age goes away, all of that goes away. Now we have mixed marriages where somebody might marry and some might have kids and the other has kids, but until time passes, the tests of time, you start to understand what it means to have a marriage and a partnership. It's such a beautiful thing to be able to decide, put yourself in a position to grow in that way throughout your life. You guys, we have a holiday tomorrow. I will be here. If you're not here, you can catch it in archives. I love you guys so very much. Please be safe. I love you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.